This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. One of the hits of this year's Sundance Film Festival was a girl-meets-girl romantic comedy called Go Fish. The New Yorker magazine says it's not a coming-out movie. It's a we're-so-out-we-have-all-the-problems-everybody-else-has movie. Vogue describes it as charming, offbeat, thoughtful, and visually inventive. The Sundance Film Festival success helped land a major distributor, Samuel Goldwyn. This week, Go Fish opens in New York. In July, it opens in the top 20 markets. My guests are director Rose Trochet and star Guinevere Turner. They also co-wrote and co-produced the film. Turner plays Max, a single woman in her 20s looking for a girlfriend. Her roommate, a women's studies teacher named Kia, arranges a meeting between Max and a woman named Eli. Max and Eli go to a movie, but Max doesn't think they're right for each other. Eli doesn't have the right look. She's too retro. But this sounds like a pretty shallow excuse to Max's roommate.
Okay, maybe I thought after you got past your shallow fashion requirements, you might find Eli interesting.
Kia, interesting? Okay, let me go over the things about her that were really working for me. Dresses like my mama in the 70s, had 100 different kinds of tea, all decaf. She liked that stupid movie. She doesn't seem to be interested in her own oppression. And last and most important, she's married.
Really? To who? To Kate?
You mean you knew she had a girlfriend?
Well, no, not really. I mean, I thought they broke up. They don't even live in the same city.
Try 2 years of not living in the same city. And in all that time, they visit each other 3 times.
Crazy. I remember when Kate was in my class.
She was? When?
A couple of years before you.
What does she look like? Probably a total hippie, right?
I'm not even going to start in on this one. Just tell me. Regular, crunchy, or extra crunchy? Max, settle down. I won't say if she's a hippie or not, but keep in mind, she did move to Seattle.
Extra crunchy. It doesn't matter anyway. I remain as I have been for quite some time. A carefree single lesbo.
Looking for love.
It strikes me from this movie that you weren't interested in making the am I gay film or the anguish of coming out type film or, you know, the film about how difficult it is to be gay in American culture.
It's absolutely a film that almost reacts to that. And I wouldn't say that it's the opposite of that. It's just another part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are out already, all of them, you know. And that was definitely one of the things we set out to do in making Go Fish is not to have another coming out film. I mean, there's just, yeah, there's so many men and women's films, actually.
There are very few gay or very few lesbian films that don't in some way revolve around some sort of crisis about naming your sexuality or claiming your sexuality.
So you wanted to do a film where that's just taken for granted?
Yes.
Absolutely. Much like the way it is in our lives, which is we don't wake up every morning thinking, oh my God, I'm a lesbian today again, you know?
Yeah, sometimes it's almost more powerful to just go about your daily life and be exactly that and not have it be a spectacle at all. And that's what Go Fish is kind of trying to do cinematically.
Now, the relationship in the movie centers around two women. One of them's in her 20s. This is Max, Guinevere, the role that you play.
Mm-hmm.
And the other woman is closer, I'd say, probably to her late 30s or early 40s. She came of age more in the 70s. And they have different styles in the way they dress and what their values are. So did you want to, as one of the issues in the movie, kind of contrast women who came of age in the 70s with those who are coming of age now? Or came of age in the 80s.
That's so funny that you say that.
I was just going to say that's so funny.
I mean, Eli is supposed to be older than Max, but only by about, you know, 5 years or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I just assume because of certain signifiers.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we were trying to make her into the sort of the lesbian of today who is, you know, that health nut, that who is that sort of hippie-ish person, but not that she was actually from that time, just that she was sort of mimicking that. That aesthetic.
That aesthetic, yeah. And I think it's funny because the joke is brought up, the whole 70s thing is brought up because it's just like Max to think that you know, Eli's aesthetic is very 70s because she would have never, like, kind of ascribed to it to that same aesthetic herself. And but it's truly not. It's just that she's, you know, kind of crunchy dyke, you know.
As in crunchy granola.
Yeah,
right,
as in crunchy,
exactly.
as in what do we hear in Seattle? As in kumbaya.
That's what they call them in Seattle, the kumbayas.
You're both in your 20s, right?
I have recently left my 20s 2 days ago.
Congratulations on your birthday.
Yeah.
I'm 26.
So when you were coming out, were there things that you didn't relate to in the style or in some of the values of lesbians who are older than you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That whole, like, lavender sister thing, I just could not relate to. Like, women's music, I mean, and believe me, I've gone to the Michigan Women's Music Festival for 5 years in a row, a streak that ended about 3 years ago. And I remember going to Mountain Movie Coffee House, you know, which was like a drug-free, separatist space. And in a lot of ways, I couldn't relate to that, you know.
What couldn't you relate to about
that? I couldn't relate to actually how insular it was and how much it fed its own self. It was just such a weird... You know what it struck me as? It almost struck me as being religious. And that was always... It was weird. I mean, I grew up religious, but that's a feeling it always gave me, like, underneath. And that was... I've kind of shifted my lifestyle in such a way that I'm more comfortable with it now. Not being a lesbian, but the acting out of that. Or who I hang around with in a social situation. There are... I mean, it's like, I guess... I'm getting myself in a hole here, because I think the hole that I'm getting myself in is that I've shifted from the humorless lesbian to the lesbian with humor, and you know, it's not quite that cut and dry.
Well, I think it's really also has a lot to do with the fact that, okay, so you decide you're a lesbian. Well, and where you go first, mm-hmm. and the fact is, I mean, if you want to go look in the paper and find, you're going to end up in places like, you know, chem-free spaces where everyone has hairy legs, and it's all very like. Has this sort of communal sort of sisterhood feeling that while I respect it, I so don't relate to it. I mean, I smoke, I drink, mm-hmm. I like to, you know, make mean jokes and pick mm-hmm. on people and, you know what I mean? Just be myself, you know, not be all-encompassing and beautiful and sweet just because I'm a lesbian.
Right.
And so, but essentially what you end up doing is sort of finding your own way and making your own sort of group of friends.
But it definitely has to do with, unfortunately, because it sounds so shallow, it has to do with, like, looks politics, you know? I think that there was finally a movement to say we don't have to embrace everybody. We don't have to be like wonderful, nice, like because in a way it like took all these things that were woman, which in some ways are a stereotype. I mean, we're all kind of socialized to be like good and
nurturing.
You know, passive and yeah, nurturing. And it's just like I personally don't have an interest
in nurturing anyone.
Yeah.
Your film has been shown at the Sundance Film Festival and at a recent lesbian gay film festival in New York. Did you get different reactions from those two festivals?
Oh, my God, yeah. Mm,
you wouldn't believe what it's like to see the movie with a room full of lesbians.
What's it like?
It's
ecstatic. I mean, it's like you can just feel that the sort of relief of the room. Like, everyone is sitting there going, I can't believe it. Like, I can't believe this is finally on the screen. It's such a great feeling.
It's amazing.
I mean, not that people didn't like it in Sundance, but when you're sitting there with the target audience, it's like, oh, yeah, this is why we did this.
Yeah. It was really, like, the energy was completely different. And we were, it's funny because it kind of parallels life. A lot of times in a straight world, it's like if you're queer in a straight world, which we all of us who are queer in a straight world, it's enough and you should be grateful just for tolerance and just for acceptance. And so I think that's kind of a phenomenon that happened at Sundance. I mean, we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know if people would hate it. And if they hated it, we kind of knew why, you know, because it's a lesbian film. It speaks to a lesbian audience. And when they didn't, it was so surprising to be accepted. And I think we were really grateful on that level. But, man, to be with a queer audience is just like where those kind of like those issues don't come up. It's just a whole different thing.
My guests are Rose Trochet and Guinevere Turner, the director and star of the new movie Go Fish. They also co-wrote the film. We'll be right back. This is Fresh Air. Back with Rose Trochet and Guinevere Turner, their new movie is called Go Fish. You made your film on very little money, on a very small budget, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you weren't in the kinds of film circles where you already had access to a bunch of actors that you could use. So mm-hmm. how did you go about casting your movie, knowing that you probably wouldn't be able to pay anybody very much, at least up front?
Well, we definitely knew we wouldn't be able to pay anyone. And we were in a circle of people, of other filmmakers, where we could get equipment. So that covered that cost, kind of. But in terms of actresses, wow, what do? We asked them.
Were they already actors?
No.
No, not at all. I think their motivation primarily came from the same place our motivation was that they wanted to see this kind of lesbian movie being done.
So they didn't have experience?
No, they didn't have experience. Not at all.
None of us did.
Did you set yourself any ground rules? Like, for example, all the actresses had to be lesbians?
We never talked about it.
Yeah, I don't think we ever actually talked about that.
But I think it's because it never came up.
Because we didn't think anyone who wasn't a lesbian would believe in something enough to commit to something.
And would want
to
be
thoroughly.
In it.
Because we gave them each a speech before we first put them on camera, which was, okay, you realize once you're on camera, you have to stick with the project till the end because otherwise you're useless. You know what I mean? Otherwise all the footage you're in is useless and we just can't have that. We're not that kind of operation. And they were all like, okay. And they all did. I don't think that too many heterosexual people would commit to that, you know, for free.
I don't know. Maybe if they, you know, in no way, you have to remember, in no way did we know that the film would do this well. And we don't know theatrically if it's done well or not because it hasn't been released yet. But we certainly, this is something we did not count on. This was really, it was a labor of love for everybody. I mean, we thought it would show gay and lesbian film festivals and that would be about it.
I saw one article that said, well, one of the reasons why the film is getting released to theaters now has to do with lesbian chic. Is there such a thing as lesbian chic happening now? And if so, what is it?
I think it's two words that's printed in a magazine every so often. I mean, I just don't think that there are... I'll tell you what, it makes me a little bit angry, and it makes me angry in lieu of everything. I mean, 3 years ago when we started making Go Fish, there was no lesbian chic. Katie Lang wasn't out. Melissa Etheridge wasn't out. You know, and it's just, it's a weird movement because it's kind of a media, it's not a movement at all. It's kind of a media labeling that completely denies what we go through on a daily basis when we're out as lesbians, you know, like fear of being bashed, not being able to walk down the streets with our lovers, you know, and be affectionate. I mean, it completely denies a reality and makes it into like something that's supposed to be fashionable. I mean, it's like, it's a little bit of a ridiculous thing.
Go Fish focuses on one couple. And I'm wondering if you were ever a couple while making the movie.
Have you read that somewhere? She's like, it's such a setup question.
Yeah. Isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, we were. We broke up in the middle of production.
And we won't talk anymore about it.
So did the couple in the movie didn't draw on your relationship at all, did it?
Oh no. That would be a scary movie.
That would be just so horrifying. That would be like Go Fish meets Naked.
Have you seen Naked?
Oh, I have seen Naked, yeah.
So it would be. That's what it would be. That's what I predict the movie about.
Meets Jurassic Park.
Meets Jurassic Park. That would be me in the morning.
You're not painting a very nice picture of your relationship.
Oh, it just really... I mean, some people have nice little even ones, and some people have tumultuous relationships, and we just have always...
Had a tumultuous relationship.
And it's fine. It's like, you know, we were still young enough to handle it. But now that I've turned 30, I'll have to go.
Well, what was it like having a tumultuous relationship that had ended and to continue making the movie together?
Very difficult.
I mean, one of the houses that we shot in was a set. So, you know, for example, when I moved out, I couldn't even take my furniture because it was part of the movie set. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the kind of difficult we're talking. You can't even separate. And we couldn't separate our finances because we're both producers on this project. We're so entangled. Everything was just entangled. I mean, it was extraordinarily difficult. And then to have to direct someone, you know, and also have to work on re-editing, writing together. And, you know, I mean, it puts a little kink in the plan there, you know.
But it sounds like you're still on decent terms.
This is only for radio.
We'll fight as soon as we're off the air.
We get put in cells as soon as we walk out the door.
With muzzles. Yeah. No, we do pretty well. I mean, we've been known to quarrel in front of interviewers, but for the most part, we have a sense of humor about each other now because, you know, we don't see each other except when we're doing stuff like this.
No, I think, Rose, this is the first film you directed, and Guinevere, this is the first film you've acted in, and you co-wrote the film together, co-produced mm-hmm. it together. What direction do you each want to head in now?
Oh, Rose.
All my good news. My good news for the day. I'm making a second feature, and it's kind of surrounding queer Hollywood in the 40s. So I'm really looking forward to that.
And the good news is that she just got funding to write the script.
That's good. Yeah. And Guinevere, what about you?
I'm going all over the place in 5 million different directions. I for the moment, I guess I'm pursuing acting mostly just because, although it's not at all what I thought would come of this project, that's what people are encouraging me to do, and that's what agents are wanting to sell me on. I'm also writing a book, and I'm also thinking about possibly writing another script.
Well, thank you both a lot for talking with us.
Okay,
no
thank
problem.
You.
Thank you.
Rose Trochet and Guinevere Turner, their new movie, Go Fish, opens in New York this weekend and opens in the top 20 markets in July. This is Fresh Air.